ahead.
Hello and welcome to today's RSA Q1 IMS 5th of May 2016 conference call. For the first part of this conference, all participants are on listen-only mode, so there's no need to mute your own individual lines, and afterwards there'll be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, the call is being recorded. I'm now pleased to present our host, Stephen Hester, Group Chief Executive. Please begin.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for joining us, everyone. I'm here with Scott Egan, our CFO, and we're pleased, obviously, to be talking to you about the trading update that we released for the first quarter this morning. After we've made a couple of opening remarks, we are, of course, as ever, happy to take your questions. While it's only a quarter, and while, of course, we don't publish full quarterly results, I think we can say that the year has started very well for RSA. We're very pleased with progress, frankly, in every dimension. We can see from a strategic standpoint that the streamlined and focused business model that we have moved to over the last 2 years is already helping us accelerate our performance improvement actions. We are successfully completing that focus with the Latin American disposals going through well in the first half of this year, and the two biggest ones of those, Chile and Argentina, have in fact closed in April since the first quarter. And in terms of our operating performance, both at the headline and the underlying level, we're doing well, and we're doing well in every region, and all of the things we're setting out to do are underway and going in the right direction. That said, of course, we're in a volatile and dangerous world. We're in a world with slow growth, and we know that it's only self-help that is going to allow us to close the gaps to the best of our peers. But close those gaps we intend to do, and this first quarter is a good step in that direction. So let me just pause there and ask Scott to take you through in slightly more detail the financial information we've given this morning.
Okay, thank you, Stephen, and good morning, everyone. Just putting a bit more color on that, if I start with premiums, overall our group net written premiums were flat year on year. On an underlying basis, in our core group, we were flat, reflecting the sort of slow economies and the competitive nature of those markets. Despite that, though, there are some pleasing signs in both retention rates and higher NPS scores from our customers. And more pleasingly, we're able to translate that from a shareholder perspective, from a solid top-line performance into shareholder value and for our shareholders. As Stephen said, our focus remains firmly on our underwriting margin and closing the gap to best-in-class performance. Our trading results in the quarter were strong and ahead of our expectations, driven by good underwriting performance for the first quarter. Each of our core regions was ahead of the same period last year and ahead of our plan, with improving attritional loss ratios in each of our regions ahead as well. We've had some luck in the first quarter from the more volatile items of weather and prior year releases, but as we know from only last year, these things can actually come back later on in the year and are not sort of stable throughout the quarters. The weather events in quarter one for the group were 23 million or 1.5%, just to give that some colour, compared with 2.3% for the same period last year, and an average assumption that we make for planning purposes of around 3%. Our prior year profits were positive in the quarter and ahead of our plan, but given their nature, they're likely to fluctuate from quarter to quarter. We target continuing improvements to normalise underwriting profitability in the remainder of the year, although this remains subject to weather, large loss and prior year volatility. Our increased reduction plans on our transformation programme are on track so far this year, and outside our underwriting result, our investment performance is in line with our forecasts for the year. And finally, to complete the picture, our disposal programme, as Stephen said, is actually completing on track or slightly ahead of our expectations, with almost all of the LATAM businesses now complete. Turning to the balance sheet, our tangible net assets were up 9% in the quarter to $3.1 billion. The increase was mainly driven by profits, disposals, and favourable FX and yield movements. And finally, our Solvency II position has improved in the quarter. At the end of Q1, our surplus was $1 billion, with a coverage ratio of 150%, up from 143% at the year-end, the increase being driven by first-quarter profits, disposal gains, and favourable FX movements, partly offset by some mark-to-market impacts. And with that, I'll pass back to Stephen, and we can open up the lines for some questions and answers.
Scott, thank you very much. Let's go straight to any Q&A that you may have. Operator, can you help us do that, please?
Thank you, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find it's answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel. So, once again, that's 01 to ask a question, or 02 if you need to cancel. There'll be a brief pause now whilst we register your questions. Our first question comes from Carolyn Cohn of Reuters. Go ahead, madam, your line is open.
Good morning. Wanted to ask you a couple of things. Thanks for the information on the Q1 operating profits. I just wondered if there was you could flesh that out a little bit more, because obviously we're not seeing any numbers on that today. And the other thing was just you mentioning self-help. Obviously there was a large bid that went away last year, so we're still looking to see if you're expecting any other offers to come forward, and whether you would consider, you know, breaking up the business or any more disposals, or whether you're just one big piece now, if anyone wants to buy you. Thanks.
Sure. Clearly, we are, as you point out, we haven't given full P&L numbers in the first quarter. Indeed, I suppose the trend is going away from any sort of first quarter update. We thought it was important to do that because we're still a company, obviously, in recovery with lots going on. While we don't give full quarterly results, I think we've given enough information to you now to show that we are at least on track for the analyst consensus, which has been raised considerably this year on the back of an improved outlook and maybe even better than that. But I'm sorry, I can't give you firm numbers, obviously, since we haven't disclosed them. In terms of your second question, you know, it has always been the case that our day job is about making this company perform as well as it possibly can, and that we're doing that day job, if you like, blind to ownership. What I'm very pleased to see is that since the opportunistic approach that we received last summer, the share price has risen significantly on the back of significantly improved delivery showing through and significantly improved prospects. And I think we are demonstrating that we can make this company perform much better and be much more valuable for whoever owns it. Of course, as a public company, we don't control who owns us. And I think we also showed last summer that we will behave in shareholders' interests in whatever the situation that presents itself. But what we're trying to do is make the company as valuable as it possibly can be on a sustainable basis. And we do believe, while it may or may not be the outcome, we do believe this company can prosper independently for many decades to come. And we further believe that the streamlined strategic shape that we have now accomplished is the right one for the future. And I don't foresee any further disposals beyond the completion of the ones that we have already put in our non-core division.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andrew Drudstra of Insurance Post. Go ahead, sir, your line is open.
Thank you. Hi, Stephen. Hi, Scott. I'm following this from Asia. I'm based in Hong Kong, so I just wanted to clarify, and he might have been given more detail on this, but clarify the potential job losses in the UK this year, whether there's any more clarification on the total number, because I understand you're streamlining or optimising four offices and closing Bristol and Birmingham. I'm just wondering if you've got any more information to add on that at all.
No, we don't. You've identified correctly what we're doing, but we don't have any more information beyond that you have identified. It is, of course, crucial in order to make a stronger company that we get our costs down, and particularly in the UK where we haven't made money in a decade. We need to do that in the UK, but we're working intensely with our people to produce a much stronger business. And although that will be less people, I think the business will be much stronger and it will be better for our customers and then for our continuing people.
Okay, and I understand that you're correct to say you're moving out of the broker motor market?
We announced that last August.
So I was just wondering what, so that impact is kind of coming through now. So would that be fully realized this year? And what kind of expected impact do you see that having on your premiums?
It's trivial. It's £60 million in £6 billion of premiums.
Okay. So that will kind of come off gradually.
You're seeing that already in our numbers, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sarah Jones of Bloomberg. Go ahead, madam, your line is open.
Good morning. Thanks for your time. I just had a couple of follow-up questions from Carolyn, actually. Just on, you mentioned self-help. And the transformation program, I just want to sort of try and figure out whereabouts you are on that journey, for want of a better word. And just to get clarification on the cost-cutting as well, how far into it are you, and can we expect more announcements or an acceleration in that expense reductions? I also wanted to ask about the disposals. The non-core, I think Middle East business is the last outstanding non-core unit, so I just wanted to get some sort of idea about where you are with that particular business. And lastly, just in terms of the Zurich bid last year, I know this was last year's story, but you did mention that there had been some distraction to the company. I wondered if that had all washed through now and it's back to normal. Thank you.
Only a small number of questions then, Sarah.
Sorry, David. I'm sorry.
Okie doke. So your first one on where we are on transformation. I mean, I suppose it's, that's one of those sort of slightly how long is a piece of string questions.
Sure.
But we laid out on several occasions since 2014 what we're trying to do. And most recently at our results in February, we said we feel that the turnaround period is behind us. In other words, in 2014 and 15, we've successfully turned around the company, and we are now entering a period which we hope, with the benefit of hindsight, will be seen as the outperformance period.
Right.
And so during the years 2016, 17, and 18, the plans we've laid out attempt to take the company, which is now back to middle-of-the-road performance in terms of 2015, towards best-in-class performance in our markets. If everything goes swimmingly, we might achieve that by 2018. If not, we'll keep plugging at it, and it'll hopefully occur after that. And so, if you like, over the next, our program is at least over the next 3 years that we've laid out. Now, obviously, in that context, we're 2 years and one quarter into a five-year program in total, or we're one quarter into the three-year of outperformance. And so, in that sense, everything we mean to do, we've started, but very few of the things we mean to do have been finished. In terms of the expense, I mean, and as I've said before, but just to recount, the program has basically got three elements to it. The first is many, many initiatives to serve our customers better, as the world obviously produces, you know, trends that that allow customers to be more demanding. The second is many initiatives that are designed to make us more sophisticated and better underwriters with better risk models and use of big data. And the third is reducing our costs, as of course every company has to do in the current environment. So you asked all of those three initiatives, customers, underwriting, and costs, are going well. On the cost side, you asked about progress. We have raised our cost-saving target twice so far. And indeed, I indicated I hope to raise it in a year's time a third time, but for the time being, our cost target is more than £350 million of annual savings by 2018. And as of the end of 2015, we were roughly halfway through that figure. And so, you know, we're more than halfway through that figure now, 3 months later.
Okay.
You asked about the Middle East. Right. That is the last thing in our non-core unit that we haven't announced a contract on. It's relatively small for us. It's £40 million of net assets, and at the moment there's nothing happening in that direction other than the business is operating well. And then you asked in terms of Zurich distraction.
Yes.
And although it was a distraction, I think that one of the things we are very pleased with is that the distraction proved to be momentary, and that our performance is accelerating nicely despite that distraction, and I think that's behind us.
that's behind. Lovely. Thank you. And just on the Middle East, so that is not, is that, as I understood, we did some reporting that there was a potential buyer there. There is no buyer at the moment?
Yeah, there's no buyer at the moment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Michael Bowe of the Evening Standard. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Hi. Morning, both. Just two from me. First one on the portfolio transfer from Denmark. I don't know if you've sort of touched on this in the past, but why is that happening and what kind of impact it will be? And the second one is sort of a bit of a different one. On More Than, are you doing anything on sort of telematics and the growth of driverless cars effectively to sort of keep pace with the changes there? Thanks.
Terrific. Thank you, Michael. Denmark is just a small thing. We're the third biggest marine insurer in the world, i.e. ships and cargo and stuff like that. And the business is run out of London. And the only bit of our global business that was not run out of London was our Scandinavian business. And in order to make it more sensible and efficient, since, you know, insuring a ship is sort of the same wherever you do it, we've moved the Scandinavian business effective at the beginning of this year to join the rest of our business in London. So it's simply an intergroup transfer in terms of reporting. It doesn't change anything else about it. That's why we did it. I think it's £40 million of premium in a full year. It's something like £10 million in the first quarter. But that's what's going on there. On your question on telematics, it's an interesting question, and in a sense, there's two bits to it. Obviously, what we're seeing right now is the telematics boom, although it has to be said, the UK is seeing a much greater growth in telematics than most other markets for the time being. But I'm pleased to say it's the one area of our motor business where we are doing well. And I think, our growth is substantial, albeit it's a small bit of the motor market. And I think we'd consider ourselves to be in the top, four or so players in UK telematics, which we're not overall in motor. Allied to that, while driverless cars are still a twinkle in people's eyes as opposed to actually, I think, about to show up on our roads, we are in the forefront of working groups on that. I think we're one of only two insurers participating in the government's working group and pilot on the subject. And clearly it's of great interest to insurers if people are safer on the roads. We regard that as a good thing. Our customers are happier, and we have less claims to pay out. But, it's still clearly relatively experimental at this stage.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions on the line, please dial 01 now. Okay, so there's no further questions on the line. I'll hand back to our speakers for the closing comments.
Terrific. Well, thank you for joining us. Obviously, you know where to pick us up later in the day if other questions occur to you. And meanwhile, as I say, I'm pleased to report that we've had a boringly successful first quarter doing exactly what we set out to do, and we'll try and make that happen every quarter. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This now concludes the conference. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.